From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, Franklin Graham, joined by a number of Christian leaders, is calling on churches across the nation to join together in focused prayer for President Trump this coming Sunday. Why is the call so critically needed at this moment? Franklin Graham joins us in just a moment to explain. And former Congressman Dave Brat, now Dean of Liberty School of Business, is here to look at America's dangerous infatuation with socialism. A recent Gallup poll revealed that 57% of Democrats have a favorable view of socialism. That's nearly 6 in 10. Also, I'm broadcasting this week from Louisiana as Congress is out for the Memorial Day break. Today, I spoke at the Chamber of Commerce of East Baton Rouge Parish on the status of international religious freedom. And while I'm here, I'm monitoring Louisiana's heartbeat bill, which is on the verge of passing. We'll check in with the bill's author, Democratic Senator John Milkovich, a little bit later here on Washington Watch. And I'll have Kana Gonzalez, FRC's Director of State and Local Affairs, give us a rundown on the status of the various life bills that are quickly moving through state legislatures across the country. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you miss anything on your way home, it's all archived. You can find it there later, TonyPerkins.com. All right, led by Franklin Graham, 250 Christian leaders are calling for Sunday, June the 2nd, to be a special day of prayer for President Donald Trump, praying that God would protect, strengthen, embolden, and direct him. The call to pastors to lead their churches to pray says that, quote, "We believe our nation is at a crossroads, at a dangerous precipice, that the only one who can fix our country's problem is God himself. And we pray that God will bless our president and our nation for his glory," end quote. Joining us now to explain the urgency of this call and how you can be a part of it is our good friend Franklin Graham. Franklin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Tony.
Well, Franklin, give us a little background as to what prompted you to reach out to other Christian leaders, which we've joined to be a part of, to call the nation to pray for our president.
Tony, I just had a sense in my heart that we needed to pray for the president. I don't think any president in modern history has come under the attack day after day after day by almost all the media. That's just never happened. And it distracts the president. It weakens our country. We're not able to do the things that we need to do. Congress is distracted. We need to get on with the business of solving the problems of our country. And this isn't solving them. This is very dangerous. And if we don't pray, I'm afraid for the president, and I'm afraid for the presidency. God is the only one who can fix the problems in our country, but if we Christians don't pray, then we are at fault if something were to destroy our country and destroy the presidency. So I encourage people to pray.
And you kind of lay that out in the letter calling people to pray. The President Trump's enemies continue to try everything to destroy him, his family, and the presidency. In the history of our country, no president has been attacked as he has. And as you said, I believe the only hope for him and this nation is God. You make reference in the letter that this is a spiritual battle. Therefore, we have to pray for this president, for the country. Beyond that, why this president? Why the tax? Why are they so intense surrounding this president?
I can't answer that question, but there is a hatred for Donald Trump that I've never seen before. It's one thing for us to have a president that we disagree with, and you may not vote for, but to have the all-out hatred, this has never been seen in the history of our country. And I believe it's almost, it's like a demonic attack. It's just, there's no reason for it. There's no call for it. He was elected. We should get behind him. And if he does well, Tony, then we all benefit, don't we? Republicans and Democrats, independents, we all benefit from this. If he makes a bad decision, then we're all going to pay for it. So we need to be praying that God makes, that God will use him to make good decisions. But it's never been seen like this before in our country, Tony. And I just feel that an urgency that if we don't pray, something could happen, and we might be at fault for not lifting our president up the way we should in prayer.
Well, and the scripture makes very clear we're to pray for those in authority for the very reason you laid out, that we might dwell peacefully in the land. That doesn't matter if they're Republican, Democrat. I prayed for our previous president. Didn't agree with his policies, yes, but I did pray for him because I would rather him be led by, and I believe this can happen. I believe I've seen it, where leaders are led by God to do the right thing because people are praying for them. Even if they don't seek it themselves, they're influenced.
No question. I agree with you 100%, Tony.
You know, I find that the criticism of the call to pray for the president reveals the very need that we have to pray for him. I mean, there's people criticizing the call to pray for this president, which to me emphasizes the critical nature of this need to pray.
And Tony, we have seen there's a number of people that we've asked to join us in this prayer, and they refuse to do it. Church leaders. And I was surprised. Now, thankfully, that the vast majority of the people, probably 98% that we called, said, absolutely, I want to be a part of this. But I was surprised at a few that would call themselves evangelical that would not even join us in having prayer. And that's just shocking to me. And I think that's just evidence of where we live today, the problems that we're facing as a nation, and we need to get on our knees.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Franklin Graham, talking about this coming Sunday, a call to pray for President Donald Trump, June the 2nd. Franklin, how can Christian leaders connect with this and be a part of this effort?
Well, first of all, use your social media to get the word out. I would encourage pastors just to ask people in church, maybe to have a layman or the pastor himself, just offer a prayer for our country and for our president in the service, for Sunday schools to do this. I think it'd be incredible if the children of this nation prayed for their president. I would encourage Christian organizations to send out an email blast to their supporters and to encourage them to pray. I'm not getting into politics. This is not an endorsement.
Right.
It's just a simple call to prayer. That's all it is.
Well, and you cite in your letter again, Ephesians 6:12, or actually in your Facebook post, where you said, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." And if America is sidelined, or if it is distracted, or God forbid, destroyed from its ability to reach out and to influence the world, the entire world suffers. I mean, with everything that's happening right now, this is a very dangerous time for America to be distracted from its leadership role.
It is. And Tony, I'm 66 years old, and so I remember Watergate, and then it comes along Bill Clinton and the impeachment of Bill Clinton. And it was almost like the Republicans saying, okay, we're going to pay you back for what happened to Richard Nixon. And so that impeachment process should have never happened with Bill Clinton. What he did was wrong, but should have never had an impeachment. It distracted the country. We had Rwanda at that time.
Yeah.
You had the massacre. The president was sidetracked. He was not paying attention, and he was trying to fight for his survival. And that's what happens when the president's get distracted. And for the Democrats saying we're going to go after an impeachment or we're going to have new hearings, and all this is just a distraction. We've got North Korea out there that we need to solve this problem. The president needs to be working on this China issue. This is a huge trade deal, and he can't be sidetracked and not pay attention. And I just encourage Christians to pray. If you're a Democrat, pray. If you're a Republican, pray. Because whatever happens, if it hurts the presidency or if it destroys the presidency, we'll all pay for this in the future.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. In fact, I was just reading a historical account of Osama bin Laden and how in the early days when he was getting started, Bill Clinton had the intelligence of where he was located, and he hesitated to take action because it was right in the middle of the controversy that he was involved in with Monica Lewinsky. And so he hesitated. Right. And that's the danger here where these distractions. If there's legitimate issues, absolutely Congress needs to take care of them. But we know that's not the case after these investigations have been brought forward by the special counsel. This is all politics, and politics can destroy the country.
And the politics that we have today is it is so vicious. It wasn't like this when I was growing up. Republicans and Democrats disagreed, but they'd go out and have dinner at night together.
Right.
But that's not the case anymore, Tony. It's almost like we're in some kind of war, and it's about winning. And it's not about what's best for the country. It's about just winning. And only God can change a person's heart. And that's the problem, Tony, is it's a heart problem in this country. And the Bible says the heart is wicked and deceitful. We know that out of the heart comes lies, murder, adultery. All these things come out of the human heart. And the human heart needs to be transformed. And the only way that can happen is through a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on the cross for our sins. And so this is the hope for our country, is the gospel. But for us Christians, this president has been the most Christian-friendly president in my lifetime. He wants evangelicals in the White House. He wants Christians to come. He wants to support and defend Christians. I think of Pastor Brunson in Turkey. He'd still be in that prison if it hadn't been for Donald Trump. And he has a desire to help the church, to help Christians. And I appreciate that about him. Is he a perfect person? Absolutely not. Is he the best example of the Christian faith? No way. But there's something in his heart where God has placed it there to defend the Christian faith and religious liberty. And so I appreciate that about him. And we need to try to lift him up in prayer and support him where we can.
I echo that 100%. I've seen it. I've watched it. I've been amazed by it. But it is reality. And it is all the more reason we should be praying for this president. Franklin, before I let you go, where can people find out more about connecting with this call to pray for the president?
They can go to our website, billygraham.org, and you can get on, find out what you can do. And I would encourage everybody to pray, just individually, but as churches, individuals, this Sunday, if we just make it a focus on this coming Sunday on the 2nd. Just to focus for the president. We know God hears the prayer of one righteous person, but if there's millions of people praying, maybe God will listen and hear these prayers and answer our prayers.
Well, we are standing with you, and we're encouraging churches in our network of Watchmen pastors to join in this effort. Franklin, thanks so much for taking time out to join us today.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
All right, Franklin Graham. To find out more how you can be a part of the call to prayer, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. And, of course, Scripture instructs us to do this. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says that I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all of those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And again, we should pray for those in leadership, whether we agree with them or not. It makes it easier when you agree with them, but we should do it for all, nonetheless. All right, when we come back, America seems to be infatuated, at least some Americans, with socialism. We'll talk about it with Dr. Dave Brett when we return. Don't go away.
There is unprecedented religious persecution around the globe. In recent years, research has found increasing governmental and social hostility towards religious believers worldwide. For the last 10 years, Christians have been harassed in more countries, including the United States, than any other religious group. While the specific threats to religious freedom vary in type and intensity, one common source is the legal and cultural support for apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws, which often threaten the freedom to choose or change one's faith. In a new publication from Family Research Council, we list which nations around the world have these unjust laws on the books and spotlight people who have faced severe penalties simply for sharing or changing their faith. For more information on religious hostility due to apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws around the world, visit frc.org/ABA laws. That's frc.org/ABA laws.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right. More and more Americans seem to be infatuated with socialism. A Gallup poll released last week found that 43% of Americans think socialism would be a good thing for the United States, while 51% say it would be a bad thing. The poll is fresh evidence that attitudes toward socialism are changing. Amid the popularity of Democratic Party, Democratic Socialists like Bernie Sanders and others who are running for president. But part of it might be in definitions. Do they really know what they're talking about? Joining me now to discuss this disturbing trend is Dr. Dave Bratt. He is the Dean of Liberty's School of Business, my alma mater. Dave, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Great to be on. Great to be with you again.
Well, are you surprised by this? I mean, you know, you obviously are an economist. You've worked on these issues. You've been in Congress. You're now working with young people. Are you surprised that 40% of Americans embrace socialism?
No, not really. I taught economics for 20 years, and we're just not training the kids in right at the K-12 system, and that's kind of the root of the problem. They're not being taught civics. They're not being taught what free markets are. The relationship between socialism, capitalism, democracy, et cetera. And then Bernie and the Democrats come along. They just say yes to everything right now, right? So when you offer the young generation or anybody free stuff, free everything, free healthcare, free education, and you don't have to pay the bill, that sounds like an attractive deal. So no matter what you call it, they call that socialism. Free stuff is socialism. And they don't know that it's never worked anywhere in the world. It's been tried. And even more troubling, after Charlottesville came about, CNN called me up, and they wanted me to apologize for being a conservative and related that to fascism, et cetera. And I had to correct them because no one understands the basics, especially the media and the press. Fascism comes about because you have a large state. Conservatives are for a minimal federal intervention, minimal government intervention in your life. The only way you're going to get fascism and socialism and communism is out of the Democrat strategy, right, of increasing the size of government. That's really dangerous. And so you hear the socialists, it sounds very enticing. They say, here's what we're going to do for you. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. If you notice, we're going to do it, right? Who's we? It's the big state. It's not you with individual liberty, you're not in on it. And so any power you give the federal government, you better be very scared they're going to come after you next, because they might promise you the world, but that's not the history of what's happened when you grant huge power to a small group of people.
See, it's extremely important, that point you just made, because even the Gallup research shows that Americans' definition of socialism has changed over the years, with nearly one in four now associating the concept with social equality, and only 17% associating it with the more classical definition of having government control over the means of production. And what's really frightening about this, and it explains in many ways why you have Bernie Sanders and AOC and all those taking off, is that 57% of Democrats view socialism positively.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's amazing. When you go back to first principles, when you talk about equality, that, of course, presumes that rights are already in place. But that's the troubling aspect here. The Judeo-Christian tradition came up with rights, freedom, protection for freedom of conscience, and then the Protestant Reformation worked its way through, and our founders enshrined those rights into the Constitution, and they protect your individual rights. But when you have a big government promising equality, your rights are in danger. And that, again, is the problem. We're in K-12 education, the kids don't they're not being taught these basic distinctions. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, socialism, communism, it sounds attractive. Equality, well, who's giving you the equality? And what they don't understand is in China or Russia, et cetera, you do not get any rights. Under socialism and communism, you lose your rights. So they're promising you equality, but in those societies, it's the state, right? The kids just need to Google what's happening in China right now. You give away your autonomy as an individual, and the state takes all the power, and you're relegated to serving the state. And that's what you better expect if you go down that path.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, how parents can counter this, because you're absolutely right. It's in our schools, you know, starting in, you know, kindergarten all the way through college. But, you know, the family is the cornerstone of society. It is one of the key building blocks, and the family has an economy. And we teach our children certain things. So what can parents do to infuse more of an understanding of capitalism and how the world really works when it comes to the family?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, the Hebrews made the correct choice way back when you're deciding first principles. The Greeks wanted the city-state to be the centerpiece of first principles, and the Hebrews and the Judeo-Christians said, no, it's the family. And that model has worked its way through Western civilization. And so then what should the family do? The family should teach the kids religion, number one. That is the first principle. All of this falls under the sovereignty of God in the first place, right? All the founders knew that. You couldn't have a republic without a moral people, et cetera, et cetera. Madison went to Princeton Seminary. And so that's just assumed. So number one, we have to get back to religion and put God as the first principle. Otherwise, the rest of it doesn't work out right. The family is the first principle for setting up society. And then the next best thing the parents can do is teach their kids history. Because if you read history, you will see how all of these ideas evolve together. And when you spin the globe, I used to do that in economics class, it would drive my atheist sociology department nuts. Because the kids would go out in 5 minutes, and you just spin the globe and say, is this a great country, free country, rich country? And they're all free market countries.
Dave, we're up against a break. Can you hold on?
Absolutely.
All right, hold on, because I want to continue this conversation about what parents can do. But then also, I want to go south. I want to go down to Venezuela. It seems like to me that would be exhibit A of why socialism does not work. So we're going to have that conversation on the other side of the break. Folks, don't go away. Dr. Dave Bratt, who is the Dean of Liberty School of Business, former member of Congress, will join us to continue this conversation on the other side of the break. And then I hope to get an update from the author of Louisiana's Heartbeat Bill, Democratic Senator John Milkovich, will join us a little bit later. So don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage of peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influencers weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. My guest, Dr. David Bratt. He is the Dean of Liberty School of Business. Dave, as we are talking about, you know, the family is the kind of the microcosm of the of society. And, you know, I think one of the areas of weakness in families is that, you know, We sometimes, I think, make it too easy for our children. We remove the obstacles that actually made us into those that that really drive the economy, work, achieve things. And so I think teaching our children the whole principles of how the economy works and how hard work is necessary is
right.
Something that may be contributing to this problem.
No, I agree with you. Education is the key there. The discipline is very hard in the public school system. It's not the teacher's fault. We just set it up in a very awkward way. Liberty University, I couldn't be more proud, and the contrast is clear. When you come to a Christian-based educational institution like Liberty, which is just unique, the kids want to work hard. You don't have to ask. They want to. They want to build the kingdom of God. They want to serve others. I just shook hands with 1,200 graduates in a row, 3 hours of shaking hands, and the spark in the eye was just phenomenal. And so you're right, that's inculcated by the parents, and it's cultural, and that we're losing that culture, right? The left in academia at the other universities, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, were all founded as Protestant seminaries, and right. All their charters, Harvard's charter was to serve Christ and the church. And boy, has that changed. And so if you look at the culture war we're fighting versus the left and those universities, they're deconstructing the family. They're mm-hmm. deconstructing the Judeo-Christian tradition, the rule of law, free markets. And at Liberty, and the Western tradition is about constructing those, building them up to serve us all. The greatest increase in human welfare took place in the last 20 years as China and India went toward free markets. And so when the left tries to put free market people on the defensive, I mean, it's almost comical, the lack of education. We've fed 2.5 billion people. Chinese and Indian incomes went from $1,000 per capita about 25 years ago to now over $10,000 in 20 years. And they went from having no health care, no electricity, no air conditioning, no hospital, no home, to now they have full lives. And that's due to opening up to freedom. In Venezuela, you go south across the border, they're going back to socialism, and guess what happens? They're eating out of garbage bins again. I mean, it is tragic, and we all care for everybody. And so we want the best system for everybody. But when you're confronted with free everything right now, right, you've got to have a concern for the future. And right. And right now, everybody's going for the short-run sugar high.
Well, let me ask you about that. I mean, how do you square this infatuation with socialism and what is unfolding in Venezuela? I mean, a country that has all the resources, natural resources, they need more oil than Saudi Arabia and their reserves. They used to be the wealthiest country in South America. But now, as you said, they're eating out of garbage bins. They don't even have running water. The infrastructure is just collapsed. Why do Americans not see that?
That's the hard part. Why don't the people down there see it? They've been experimenting, right, South America, Central America for 100 years. They go free market for a while, and then they're tempted. A strong leader comes forward and says, I'm going to take care of you. Right? Well, that doesn't work. That's why I said that the key for the family is for kids to learn history.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't understand history, and the left is trying to get rid of history, right? There's a systematic attempt to get rid of the history book in K-12, and especially the understanding of religion. And so at Liberty, we're doing our best to keep that tradition strong, but out in the rest of the world, it's a tough battle to make that case to the young people.
I just think that everyone who has the opportunity to talk to one of these 23 Democratic candidates should ask them when they start their spiel about Venezuela and let them explain how their socialism is different than Venezuela's socialism and how the outcome would be different.
Yeah, well, and you just put your finger on it. That's the key point, right? Why aren't they forced to? Because the press is owned by the leftist media. And they're all on the side of socialism with the media. So the Democrats are never asked a tough question. I had a Democrat run against me. I'm going to create economic growth. How are you going to do that? I got no idea. Right? You ask the Democrats what's going on in Venezuela, they're going to move on. They're going to pivot, say something about what's wrong with the United States, how we're unfair and we've got to improve it here or something like that. This is the richest country and the poor have upward mobility that no one else in the world can dream of.
Yeah, right. And if America slips, if America goes the way of Venezuela, the entire world will suffer.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, Europe's going downhill. China is growing, but they're fading a little bit right now with a dip. But we have always been the shining city on the hill, and we've represented the Judeo-Christian tradition. And that set us up for the rise, right? I mean, that we put in place all the institutions and the idea of human rights, and then our founders came along, and then Adam Smith and free markets came along. And it's been a true miracle to live in this country, and we need to preserve it for the kids. And we need to teach them they need to preserve it.
And for the rest of the world, because they've benefited as well.
Got it.
Dr. Dave Bratt, thank you. As always, great to talk with you.
Hey, great having a Liberty alum on. Thanks, Tony. Thank you.
All right. Tell everybody we said hey. Dave Bratt, Liberty University Dean of the School of Business. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right. When we come back, we're going to try to check in with the author of Louisiana's heartbeat bill, Democratic Senator John Milkovich. He's on the floor of the Senate, so we're going to try to get him. Stick around for that. Don't go away. More to come.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
The latest Trojan horse on Capitol Hill is called the Equality Act. The way the left is advertising this bill is misleading because it does not further equality at all. It would actually violate current protections in place that allow private institutions and people of faith to freely act in accordance to their deeply held beliefs. The Equality Act explicitly removes religious liberty protections that were originally put in place with bipartisan support. Its stated goal is equality, but its actual result is harm to vast members of communities, individuals, and Americans as a whole by undercutting our foundational freedom of religion. Is this really what equality looks like? A more fitting name for the Equality Act would be the Inequality Act. For more information on the mass threat of the Equality Act, visit frc.org/EqualityAct2019. That's frc.org/EqualityAct2019.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, a few more days available for those that might be interested in joining us on a vacation this summer, on a cruise to Alaska. My wife and I, along with several members of the FRC team, General Jerry Boykin, former Ambassador Ken Blackwell, and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, will all be there. You'll not only be able to take in the beautiful scenery of God's creation in Alaska, but you'll get a behind-the-scenes look at what's happening in our nation's capital going into the 2020 election. To find out how you can be a part of that, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. A few spots left, but hurry. All right, Louisiana is on the verge of joining a growing list of states that are passing pro-life bills. The heartbeat bill is one step away. Actually, got a vote, got to come out of the House. Anticipated could be late tonight or tomorrow. Onto the governor's desk. The governor, Governor Edwards, a Democrat, has said that he will sign the bill into law. The chief sponsor of the bill is a Democrat himself, Senator John Milkovich. He's actually on the Senate floor right now, and so I think he's going to be calling in just a few moments. But I want to explore a little bit of what's happening around the state. Since January and Andrew Cuomo's push for infanticide, we've seen state after state push pro-life law. The most I've ever seen. In fact, just in the last 8 years, we've had over one-third of all of the pro-life bills since Roe v. Wade. That's over 46 years. In the last 8 years, over a third of those pro-life bills have been enacted into law. It was a response to Barack Obama this year, to Andrew Cuomo, Ralph Northam, and the others pushing an extreme pro-abortion agenda. I mean, I was on Fox and Friends on Saturday morning discussing this, that really it was Governor Cuomo and Northam that gave birth to this surge of pro-life bills. So I'm encouraged by it as we see state after state taking an aggressive stand for life. And joining us now to give us kind of an update on what's happening across the landscape, across America, is Kena Gonzalez. He is the director of state and local affairs at the Family Research Council, and we're going to bring him in until we to get the senator. Kena, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks a lot, Tony.
All right, we as we were mentioning, the fetal heartbeat measure is up for a vote here in Louisiana. They're going to join Ohio, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, a growing list of states. Kind of give our listeners an update on what's happening across the nation as it pertains to the issue of life.
Yeah, like you said, Tony, there's been an explosion of pro-life bills in state capitals in the last 8 to 10 years. As you said, about a third of the laws, pro-life laws that have been passed since Roe v. Wade at the state level have come about, ironically, in the last 6 years and of the Obama administration. And that surge has continued under Trump. And I think that really is a reflection of where the American people are as we learn more and more through medical science at earlier and earlier stages of pregnancy, and as we find out more about what abortion really is, whether it be through state bills that outlaw and ban really horrible, barbaric practices of dismembering unborn children in the womb in order to kill them, or whether it be the undercover videos that David DeLeiden broke a few years ago, Americans are really waking up to this issue, and that is reflected in their elected representatives.
Kena, is also the fact that you have some on the Democratic side, and in fact, none of the Democratic presidential hopefuls that I've heard, and I could be mistaken, none of them have distanced themselves from the infanticide push of Governor Cuomo. And I think, I mean, that's so extreme that we're not talking about abortion. We're going beyond abortion to literally killing or allowing to die babies who are born surviving an attempted abortion. It appears in the polling data that this has caused Americans, some who consider themselves to be, quote unquote, pro-choice, to rethink this whole issue of abortion. I mean, it appears that we're in a moment of really educating in thinking about who we want to be as a nation when it pertains to abortion.
I really think that's right. Someone once said that as the dark grows darker, the light grows lighter, and I think the contrast here is just striking. You know, I think we all watched as New York passed with a standing ovation in the gallery a birthday abortion bill that would allow abortions up until the day of birth, up until the moment of birth, really, in New York, enshrining in law what has actually been policy under Roe v. Wade in case Roe v. Wade is struck down. And a number of other states have acted to try and follow suit. We saw Ralph Northam, the governor of Virginia, defending just such a bill in Virginia that was ultimately defeated, thankfully. We've seen this in a number of other states, four or five other states. Vermont is moving a birthday abortion bill that would do the same thing as New York's. We're seeing a bill revived almost in the dead of night this past Sunday, right at the end of session in Illinois, that would do exactly the same thing. There's a bill waiting in the wings that appears stalled right now in Massachusetts. But we are seeing some victories as well. The New York Senate, which is overwhelmingly Democrat, defeated just such a bill in New Mexico and said, no, that will not be the policy of our state. We are not going to allow abortion up until the day of birth if Roe v. Wade is struck down. And there is a dichotomy between national Democratic politics, as you said, the presidential contenders, and at the state level. We have counted well over 100 state-level representatives who either have co-sponsored or have voted for pro-life bills or have voted pro-life against bad abortion expansion bills, such as those I just mentioned.
Well, the bill on the House floor, it's Senate Bill 184. It's already passed the Senate. It will be up in the House either later tonight, most probably tomorrow. I would encourage you, if you live in Louisiana, to give your state representative a call and encourage them to support Senate Bill 184, the heartbeat bill. The Capitol switchboard number is 225-342-6945. It's been a long time since I've used that number. 225-342-6945 is the number to the House switchboard. Kena, you know, business increasingly is wanting to weigh in on these social issues. We saw them on the wrong side of the bathroom bills in North Carolina. And now today, Netflix jumping in to the situation in Georgia. The executive director of their content, the content officer, said, Ted Sarandos, said that the company will rethink its investment in Georgia should the bill, the heartbeat bill, go into effect. Now, quite frankly, I see this as more bluster from business. Just as we saw in North Carolina, all the companies threatening to pull out. Look, bottom line is they're in it for the money. The reason they're in Georgia is because Georgia has given them a very favorable tax structure, rebates to do movies in Georgia. I know because we did the same thing in Louisiana. We were leading until Georgia trumped Louisiana in terms of its financial incentives. These folks are, well, let me just put up, they're up for sale. And they're going to do whatever they have to do for the money. But increasingly, we see business weighing in on these issues like life. Why in the world would they be weighing in on them? What does this have to do with movies?
Well, you've got me, Tony. I don't know why businesses feel safe to do this. It is amazing, as you say, to watch Hollywood try to export its politics as well as its population. You know, California is losing population. My home state of Texas has been steadily gaining Californians over the last decade or so. And you're right, Republican states with low tax rates and favorable business environments with few regulations have attracted a lot of businesses from out of state. There's a reason they're targeting Georgia, North Carolina, Texas. Texas and North Carolina have consistently ranked number one and number two in terms of being favorable to business growth in the United States for the last several years. And as you well know, in talking to our good friend Dan Forrest, the lieutenant governor there in North Carolina, this is a lot of smoke and mirrors. This was evident in Georgia early on the pro-life issue. With folks threatening to pull out of movie contracts and things like that in Georgia if the law goes into effect. Everyone knew that the law in Georgia was designed to be challenged in the courts and that would be a years-long legal battle. So in some ways, Hollywood on the life issue gets to have its cake and eat it too. They get to posture as if they're going to pull out of a state without in any way really threatening the very lucrative business that they're doing in that state, at least while these probably years-long legal battles play out.
Well, policymakers need to take note of what you just said. You have Hollywood, you know, they're fleeing California because of the high taxes, the regulations that, you know, causing everyone to flee California. The same thing as, you know, the Northeast, they're going to Texas, they're going to these other states that have favorable tax structures and regulations. But then they want to bring their onerous social policy that undermines the very foundation of what made the state they went to attractive. And so policymakers just need to say, hey, look, you came here because our policies were conducive to business, and that includes our social policy. If you don't like it, go back to the high tax, high regulation state that you came from, but we're not changing our policies for you. We were doing fine before you got here, and we'll be doing fine when you leave.
That's absolutely right. And really, all of our listeners have a role to play in this as well, Tony, because when folks on the left produce protests because they want to see a fine business like Chick-fil-A go out of business because the founder of the company also has a foundation that makes donations to Christian organizations, they've organized on the left. we have the same opportunity on the right. We have friends at places like Second Vote that rate businesses according to how friendly they are on life and religious liberty and family issues. And folks can go there to that website, secondvote.com, or download the app to their phone and see exactly how their businesses rate. And I do know that our listeners have in the past reached out to the companies that they do business with and let them know at customer service, hey, I don't appreciate it when you start pushing left coast or northeast policies and social policy in my state. I don't want to see that happen. And you don't have to live in Georgia or Texas or a place like that to make that call. These companies need to know that they are subtly alienating their customer base and making themselves less attractive to their customers by wading into these social policy issues that really have nothing to do with their business model.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you still have a subscription to Netflix, I got rid of mine because the content is becoming increasingly objectionable. That's beyond their conduct as a business. Contact them. Let them know you're rethinking your subscription to Netflix based upon them trying to strong-arm Georgia on the issue of life. Kana Gonzalez, thanks so much for giving us an update on what's happening across America as it pertains to the sanctity of human life.
Thanks a lot, Tony.
All right. To find out more about the work that Kana and the whole team at the Government Affairs is doing, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. A lot of good stuff happening. Speaking, he mentioned Chick-fil-A. I wanted to bring this up. You may have been tracking this. We may talk about this tomorrow. I'm not sure. But, you know, they had the whole Save Chick-fil-A bill in Texas because the San Antonio airport would not allow Chick-fil-A in the airport because their foundation gave to religious groups and other reasons. Well, this speaks to why elections matter, because the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, which has contracts with airports like the one in Texas and New York that's done something very similar, they say, look, under the executive order by the president, Donald Trump, on religious freedom, this is religious intolerance to exclude someone because they are engaged with faith-based organizations or that they have religious convictions. And so the Federal Aviation Administration under Elaine Chao is actually looking into these airports and saying, wait a minute, that doesn't fly. So, again, elections have consequences. We have an administration that is promoting religious freedom and freedom in general. All right. Well, I think Senator Milkovich is still tied up on the Senate floor, so we'll probably get him tomorrow to discuss the heartbeat bill here in the state of Louisiana. So be sure and tune in tomorrow for that, along with much, much more. All right. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.